first stroke, I had the stroke on the job, and I just finished a stressful meeting with my boss. And 10 minutes after that, I had a stroke, and somebody said, I think he's having a stroke. And that's when I first started, when I had the first one. I was in the hospital probably about 4 or 5 days. One of the things that I had to change was, if I get stressed, then anything that's stressing my life, I didn't need it. So to be honest, I left the job, I left the girlfriend, and then some of the stress was gone. Whatever that's stressing you, sometimes you don't need it. You can find a different way to make it happen. I love beer, and I thought that would be hard to give it up, but I started to change my habits. So I always would drink and look at a movie or something, but I changed all that. So I knew that that wasn't healthy for me. So, I had to make some change for life. And it was tough for my family because they didn't know how to proceed, because all of the information was in my head. So then, they got some help. I'm in the VA. I used to be in the military, so I got a little help from the military, the vets. They got me some therapy and for some physical therapy and some speech therapy, and that took a look. It took about 6 months.
Hello, Mark Goodyear here. Welcome to Stroke Stories, the podcast that seeks out and hears from stroke survivors. In this episode, we hear from Milton White from Richmond, Virginia. Milton had his first stroke at the age of 53.
I was working out, and I had a good life, and I wasn't even thinking about anything. I had a good job, and it's a little stressful. I think it was more than stress, because, be honest, I was maybe drinking a little bit too much. I was taking a lot of energy drinks, and the job was it was stressful, but I really liked what I do. I was doing digital marketing. So I did, websites and internet ads and websites and stuff. And social, so I like the creative part of it, but sometimes it was really stressful, and I had to commute for like a hour each way. So the first stroke, I had the stroke on the job, and I just finished a stressful meeting with my boss, and 10 minutes after that, I had a stroke, and somebody said, I think he's having a stroke. And that's when I first started, when I had the first one. I was in the hospital probably about 4 or 5 days. It was mild, so it wasn't as bad. And maybe I took it for granted more than I should. I stopped as much drinking. I didn't drink as much. And I had to slow down a little bit. And one of the things that I had to change was, if I get stressed, then anything that's stressing my life, I didn't need it. So to be honest, I left the job, I left the girlfriend, and then some of the stress was gone. So one of the things for me was, whatever that's stressing you, sometimes you don't need it. You can find a different way to make it happen. I love beer, and I thought that would be hard to give it up, but I started to change my habits. So I always would drink and look at a movie or something, but I changed all that. So I knew that that wasn't healthy for me. So I had to make some change for life, for health reasons.
4 years later, Milton suffered a second stroke.
I was doing some consulting work for myself, and then I was one of the things with that was, you might make be okay with getting some money, but you don't really have any insurance. So I found a job. It was a good job, and it was really, it wasn't stressful. It is right at the alley what I like. And I had to move, so I moved to another state, and you know, I started the job, and I had to wait for about a month to get my insurance. So I was in the state. I didn't know anybody. Just, you know, my sister was, she had a house there, but she wasn't living there. She was in another state. So I got an idea job that I really liked, making good money. And I was looking around at the town and going to different places, the restaurants and stuff. And I liked the area. And then one day I was in a restaurant, and I felt the tension my left side. That's because I knew that I was starting to have a stroke again. I couldn't talk anymore. But let me go back. What the I had ran out of the medicine, and I said I was going to get some more in about, you know, once my insurance clicked in, but I ran out about, you know, like a week or so. And it was a lot of people in the restaurant, and they didn't know I was having a stroke, but I couldn't really signal to them, and I couldn't say anything. And my waiter, I don't know where he's at. So I didn't know what to do. So I just left, tried to go in my car, but my face had changed, so recognition on my phone, it was locked in because they didn't recognize me. So I couldn't call 911. I said, well, let me, you know, I try to get some help. People just looking at me because it was nighttime. So they was afraid of stuff. So I couldn't really get no help. And so I said, the only place I could go to, I remember how to go home. So I went home. I don't know why. I just tried to call my sister, and some reason it worked. I actually was able to make the call. And when I called her, I couldn't really say anything, but I just said, help. And then she called the cops. They got there, and the ambulance people came. But the cops, because I couldn't really talk and my face was all messed, you know, goopy, they thought I was on drugs or something. When the ambulance came, then they said I had a stroke. When they took me to the hospital. When they went to the hospital, I was kind of out of it, and my memory was gone, because it took about 2 hours before I got some help. I didn't know anybody there. So I didn't have any medical records. So they didn't know what type of medicine I was on. They didn't know anything. So I'm just was sitting in the hospital. Eventually, my sister came, and they helped me a little bit. But then I went back to the state that I was with my sister. And one of the things, I was used to living alone. So when I lost all of my memory, then I couldn't remember my bills, couldn't remember my banking information, my medical information, my work information on how to call and everything. And it was really tough. And it was tough for my family because they didn't know how to. They didn't know how to proceed, because all that information was in my head. So then, they got some help. I'm in the VA. I used to be in the military, so I got a little help from the military, the vets. They got me some therapy and some physical therapy and some speech therapy, and that took a look. It took about 6 months.
Coming up, Milton talks about spreading a positive message.
Nobody really talked about the positive. And I was looking for for people to say, you know, you can do it. You can, yeah. And that's what I wanted to hear. So one of the things that I said I want to do is try to say positive things to people, and that stuff that you're going, what you're going through, it's going to change. It's not going to last. You just got to stick with it.
And dealing with speech problems post-stroke.
And so one of the things that I had to tell the family and you know, as I was going, with your speech, and I was going slow, they would cut me off, and they're trying to finish my sentences and all of that. I say don't do that. Give that person a chance.
Let's hear how Milton created the Stroke Info Kit.
One of the things that I wanted to talk about, because when I was in the hospital and I was just sitting on my back and I couldn't talk and I couldn't do anything and I couldn't remember everything, I said to myself, it would be nice if I don't want anybody to go through the stuff, to the same thing that I'm going through. There's a lot of people that live alone, and they may experience something that happens, and all of the vital information about them, nobody knows. They don't share the information because you're used to doing everything yourself. So one of the things that I wanted to do, and I did do, after I got better and I started going to therapy and all of that, and my memory started getting a little better, I decided, let me build a website for people that the website will have all the person's billing information, insurance, work information, banking information, medical information, basic stuff, not the banking stuff or your numbers, but it's more so somebody can know what bank you work with. So I built that website, and so what I would do is say, I told my sister, and then I share with anybody to say, if something happens again, then they already have my information. If I forget all the information, they can log in and get all of my information for it. The other thing that I, because I was looking at the things that I can do to make it better the next time, I came up with cards. So if I had a stroke and I can't talk, the card would say, I'm having a stroke. Can you call 911? And then I have another card. So when I was getting better, and with the stroke, and I still have problems with my speech. I really couldn't talk that well, and I couldn't even order in restaurants and stuff. I didn't feel comfortable. With the another card that I'm doing is say, you know, I had a stroke and I have problems with my speech. Can you work with me? So I did all of that stuff to really make it better for somebody else.
Here, Milton shares with us how he's feeling about his recovery.
I'm up and down. I mean, it's about the journey. One of the things that I notice is when you have a stroke, your emotions change. You're up and down. One day I'm really positive, and another day I'm really down. A lot of times when I was looking, you know, when I was going looking at the videos and people that's trying, you know, stroke information, nobody really talked about the positive. And I was looking for people to say, you know, you can do it. That's what I wanted to hear. So one of the things that I said I want to do is try to say positive things to people, and that stuff that you're going, what you're going through, it's going to change. It's not going to last. You just got to stick with it. So, you know, for me, I'm, like, for instance, my speech, I don't think it's 100%, but I think it's a lot better than it was. And that's the way I have to look at it. That's the same thing with my walking and my, you know, some of the physical part of it, that it's a lot better. It's not where I'm want to be, but, you know, it's a journey, you know. So one thing also I will say, you know, the company that I was working with, yeah, they laid me off. And then, you know, where I'm at right now, I was looking for different jobs or whatever. I can do the work. I have the technology, the skills to do it. But sometimes people don't give you a chance based on your speech. And so for me, I want to change that. You know, if somebody have problems with their speech, you can't hold that against them, even though some people do. That don't mean that they don't have knowledge or they stupid. A lot of people, they may go slow or whatever, but you're missing out on all of the skills that they can do for you.
Milton says that when it comes to dealing with speech issues after a stroke, friends and family need to remember to be as patient as possible.
I think the family is, they love you, and families and friends want to be there for you, but you have to realize you're not the same person. And so one of the things that I had to tell the family and you know, as I was going, with your speech, and I was going slow, they would cut me off, and they trying to finish my sentences and all of that. I say don't do that. Give that person a chance. They're not going to get better if you not they don't let him let the person finish. They mean well, but they got to be the primary in their journey. So give them a chance to get better, or with a speech, or one of the things that like I said before, my emotions go up and down. So for the family, if they can, you know, they can stick with you and you understand that you're going through some things. You can't do what you used to, but sometimes you don't feel adequate. And it comes out sometimes that you feel angry, so don't take it personally sometimes, and just work with them. The other thing I would say for people that had a stroke is just don't give up. You're gonna have good days and bad days. It seemed easier than done, but if you do one thing positive today, and the next day you have a setback, don't worry about it. Just keep on going, and then you might say, okay, they say your speech is not going to, it's going to take you a year or six months, and then you'll be looking at like, man, that's a long time, but it'll go before you know it. And I will say, make sure that you're around people that's positive, because you'll be positive. And even when you have those days that is bad, you can still overcome and say, you know, I can do it. And the people, they really want you to succeed.
Milton suffered two strokes at the age of 53 and 57 and continues to make progress in his recovery. He's also created an online tool, the Stroke Info Kit, that allows people to store key information online so that it's readily available to the emergency services in case of a medical incident. Thank you for supporting Stroke Stories. We appreciate you listening. Please do share the podcast with anybody you think it might help. And if you can, rate and comment on the episodes you hear to help us spread the word. And if you are or you know of a stroke survivor and there's a story you'd like to share with us, please get in touch via X or Instagram. Our DMs are always open. The Stroke Stories podcast was produced by Aidan Judd. I'm Mark Goodyear. Thank you for listening.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.